first time I ever came to this church, this big bloke was sitting in front of us, for those of you who remember Andrew Ratcliffe. And, he put out his arms and just swallowed me into his arms. And he got Ken's hand and he shook it like he was trying to shake his arm off. And I was like, well, that's a really nice place, isn't it? And like Xavier, I felt so welcome. No one was judging me. No one was, thinking, oh, why is she wearing that? But we went to a church in Maruya on holidays one day, and we walked in, kind of, looked around, walked down, sat down, sang a few songs, listened to someone speak, got up, walked out to the foyer, looked around for the toilets, said, well, do they have coffee? Do we pay for it? Looked at each other, went, well, let's go. Yeah, we didn't feel very welcome. It was still a good message, and I know God was still there, but we didn't feel welcome. And then we often go to this church in Naruma. The church in Naruma, they actually walked down the stairs to meet us at the gate and took us inside, said, come and sit with us, and sat next to us, told us what was going on. Oh, we've got a guest speaker today. He's from wherever he was, Canberra or whatever. Gave us these little hand-knitted rugs to go over our lap because it was pretty cold. I know, it was so nice. There was one on every set of seats. Invited us out for coffee afterwards, which we went. And after coffee, we went to lunch with them. But they told us where the best place was to get sourdough, where to go fishing, where not to go at night time. That was a good one. And we just felt so welcome. We've been back there 3 times now, and the last time we were there, they actually asked us if we would be part of their ministry. It's a ministry for the homeless people in the area, because there's lots of homeless people in the area, and we were asked to host a table, and it was just like so, I just got so much value out of that. It was really, I'd knitted 23 beanies, and I got to give them all away on that day as well. Yeah, it was just great. All right. So, what we're going to talk about today, hopefully, we want to look at how God wants to grow his church through invitation and welcoming. Now, that's not the job of the pastor, and his church is not this building. So we're going to look at your part. You're the church. You, me, us, we're the church. And not just having people in seats today. All right. We do welcoming really well. There was lots of hands up, by the way. At Overflow, people meet us at the door, looks beautiful when you come in. We've got a great morning tea, we're well known for that. And in a couple of weeks we have something coming up, which is a newcomer's lunch. So if you're quite newish to Overflow, you probably get an invite for that as well. But welcoming is so much easier than inviting. So if I were to have a dinner party at my place tonight, and I cleaned the house and I made some fabulous food and made you a delicious dessert because I'm a good cook. and then I, stood there at the door and waited for you and no one came. What would be the point of me being excited to welcome you if I hadn't invited anyone? And it reminds me of that story of the banquet in Luke 14, and it says, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friend, brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours, because if you do, they'll just invite you back and you'll be repaid. But invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. These are the words of Jesus. Many are invited. Many people were invited to that banquet, but they all had these excuses why they couldn't come. They were just newly married, wanted to go out with their wife, I don't know, looking at some property that they had just bought or, checking out their oxen that they had. So this guy then, after he'd invited all those people that couldn't come, he went out and invited all the fringe dwellers, those poor and the crippled and the lame, and there was still room at his table, so he went out then and invited any strangers he went out and invited everyone to the table. And that's how it is with the kingdom of God, everyone is welcome. Everyone is invited. I've got a definition here. The difference between inviting and welcoming. Inviting is to make a polite, formal or friendly request to someone to go somewhere or to do something. And welcoming is to greet someone in a glad, polite or friendly way. Here we go. Got some big questions today. Why do we want to grow our church? Brad talked last week about the three ways that we grow. So mostly today I'll be talking about growing in numbers, but there were the other ways that we grow, which are relationally with each other, so from each other to each other, and then the personal growth that we do with God. We'll touch on the others, but today, because of our passage, we might look more at the first way. So we want a bigger church. Yeah, let's imagine that we had to get the gymnastics out because we were going to fill that next room. Wouldn't that be fabulous? How many people in the area we could invite into the kingdom of God by coming into this building? Our church statement up the back up there tells us that we should demonstrate God's goodness every day and wherever we are. So it's a reason why we want to grow the church. The final commission in the Bible, the last thing Jesus said before he departed this earth, was to go and make disciples of all nations. So going out there to the people and telling them about the great things that we have and that we want to share. We saw during COVID a huge increase in loneliness, where people said they felt disconnected. And social media has a lot to do with that too. People want to be connected one-on-one in reality. And it's led to this thing called the isolation epidemic that's everywhere, where people are just craving the company of other people and craving that connection and conversation and understanding. So it's a reason why we should be inviting people. One of my favourite stories is the woman at the well in John 4, where Jesus came and spoke to her, and she was just so excited by what he said, and she just felt that he had given her this treasure that was so precious that she wanted to go out and share it with everybody. She was there. She shouldn't have been talking to those people at that time, the rules of that time, but she did. She just ran into town. She told every single person she saw, because she was so excited about what she had been given that she wanted everyone else to have it. And I don't know about you, but I feel a bit like that as well. She wasn't inviting them to come to the temple. I don't even know if she was allowed to go to the temple. She wasn't inviting them to come to her house. She wasn't inviting them to church. What she was inviting them into, though, was peace and hope. And she was inviting them into the love of Jesus. She was inviting them into belonging, a spiritual renewal, and to relationship. So that was her invite to those people. Here's a good one for us. If we are not inviting people, or we're not very welcoming, why? Why not? Why don't people invite others? And why don't they feel like welcoming? What I'm going to do is give you just about 1 minute just to talk to the people around you and just share with each other what you know about the why not. Why don't people invite or welcome? Who has a good answer? Why not? Fear of rejection. Excellent. Anyone else? Oh, you people just must be really good at inviting then. Fear of judgment. Yes. These were some that I came up with. It's really risky, isn't it? It's really risky going out there and talking about what's really deep inside of you. Some of you said, I don't know anyone not in a church. So you don't have the connections for someone to invite. Fear of rejection comes from other people's opinions of you. And I don't know, Paul Hallett taught me this thing that says, other people's opinions of you is none of your business. I love it. We often feel very vulnerable to go out there and share our faith with people. We don't have that boldness, and some of us are praying for that boldness. We have doubts about ourselves. We tend to judge other people, thinking, oh, they wouldn't want to come, or they wouldn't fit in there. Okay. And you know what? So many of those things are lies. And we all know where lies come from. So I want to ask Jesus today, just come in our hearts and remove those lies, and please just fill them with those that truth that is from you. Thank you, Jesus. When I was doing some research on the topic, I read this story. This is not our youth, because which was Friday, but this is a story about a youth. It was a young man, and he went to youth group for the first time. And there was all the kids that had grown up together in the church, and they were all sitting together, and they all knew each other really well. And this new kid walked in, and we did have a new kid walk in this from the school next door, which was fantastic. Hope this wasn't his story. Don't think so. Anyway, this boy sat down and on his own, and he just, you know, we ate the dinner on his own, and he couldn't really participate in the conversation because he didn't know these boys. And he went home that night and he felt rejected. He was like, oh, what's wrong with me? No one spoke to me. What's wrong with me? I don't fit in. And so he never went back to youth group. So not only did he feel rejected himself, but he didn't go to youth group. He gave up on church as well. And he also gave up on God. And how different a story could it have been for that boy if the other boys had said, hey, bud, come sit with us. Very different. And that's sometimes as simple as it is. All right. For all you young people out there, I've got a great way of growing the church. It's called Flirt to Convert. Not for me. Go out there, marry someone, have lots of kids. That'll build the church up, hey? Sorry, probably not the best way. I have a better way. On to the rest of you, to go out there and youth, and be yourself. That's it. Carry your Jesus flavour. Remember that you are the mirror of Jesus. You are the light and the salt that he's given you to carry out there to show the world who he is. Because you are, I think Ben said it, fearfully and wonderfully made. He made you for such a time as this. Another great way, probably should have put this one first, was to pray. God's already decided and we're just here to do his will. Ask him, who have you put on my heart? Who have you prepared for us to speak to? Listen and obey. You never know what opportunities are out there. I'll give you a little example. I know I'll give you stories. A couple of years ago, I did a discipleship course, and we had to pray about someone called a person of peace, and who it was that person that God had already prepared for us. And my answer to that prayer was my father. Now, my father was a proclaimed atheist at that stage, and I thought, oh no, that can't be right. Lies. So God wasn't going to let my disobedience stop what he wanted to do, though. Dad got this letter in the mail from the Jehovah Witnesses, okay? And it had Revelation 21, verse 4, the passage about having no tears in heaven. And there were a few tears for Dad. And he said, is that true? So I said, let me have a look in my Bible. So I looked it up and I said, yeah, it says the same thing in my Bible, must be true. So he asked me another question. And I found the answer with some help from a wiser one, from Chris, in Isaiah. Revelation and Isaiah is probably not the best place to start with a new Christian, but Jesus met us where we were at, and we need to meet other people where they are at. And that's how it happened. We finally did get to the Gospels, but that was a bit later. Dad was due to have his first cancer surgery, and I had stayed with him the night before, and he woke up in the morning and it was just him and I up early, and he came out and confessed his sins, and he told me some great funny things. I won't share them now, but and he said, how would God ever love me after all I've done? And I said, do you want him to? He said, how would he forgive me? I said, do you want to be forgiven? He said, yeah, I do. I said, it's easy. And that was it. So when my father died a couple of years after that, we did get to share the Bible, but he was like the sinner on the cross, you know. He never went to church, he never paid tithes, He was never part of a ministry. He did read the Bible with me, and he did tell other people about it because he got a bit excited about it. And when he died, I just had this peace that I knew where he was going. Could you imagine if I was so disobedient to God again that I hadn't done what he asked me to do, to share the reading of the Bible with Dad? Where would my peace be today? I'm just so fond of obedience for that very reason today. One of my favourite things is name dropping. I love to drop the name of Jesus into every conversation. If you don't know, I run a B&B, and on a Sunday morning when my guests check out, I usually say to the guests, can you just put the key in the key box? I won't be here. I'll be in church. Sometimes that sparks a conversation like, oh, you go to church? Yeah, I go to church. Yeah. And sometimes it's dead silence. And that's okay. Both of them are okay. But you never know where that little one word that you've dropped, where it will end up. And, you know, it's not your responsibility to know where it ends up. It's none of your business. You're just doing what God wants you to do. And there are so many opportunities available, not just inviting someone to church. So we looked at this morning, the Alpha program. We have the women's breakfast and the men's breakfast. And there's been people, you guys out there, who have invited other ladies and I guess gents, I don't know, to the men's breakfast and to the women's breakfast. Ask them along. There's some of you out there that are not in a connect group. And others of you who are could invite them to be part of your connect group. There was the youth on Friday night and every second Friday that we can invite people to. We've been invited to go to the cathedral. That's a really easy one to invite non-Christians to as well. It's just a day out. You can invite them to read the Bible. You can invite them to share their faith, or you can share your testimony with them. You can invite them for lunch. You can invite them for coffee. You can invite people by what you put on your social media. What I really encourage you to do is not to get out in the park with your microphone and a soapbox and stand out there spruiking. Although if that's you, that's fine. I don't want to stop you. It's just not me. But to build relationships with people, and when you've built that relationship with someone, that's the time when you're less vulnerable and you can invite them into something. All right, I'm going to get you all to stand up if you can. And if you're in the front two rows, you might need to turn around and face the back. Come on, chop, chop. Everyone's asleep. Waking you up. All right. I want you to look around at 10 people who are not your family or your bestie. Okay, fine. Just eyeball 10 people. You're not going to have to talk to them, don't panic. And if you can name, if you know the names of 10 people around you who are not your family, stay, and first and last name, by the way, stay standing. If you don't know their first and last name, but 10 people, sit down. Okay, that would cause me to sit down because I hardly know anyone's last name. Here we go. I'm out. All right, for all you lovely people that stood standing, or person, hang on, don't. This is the second part to this. If no, no. The second part is if you haven't invited any of those people that whose first and last names you knew out for lunch or for coffee or to your house, I was also going to get you to sit down. And this would have probably eliminated all of you then, so everyone would be sitting. So what does that say about us? We can do better, okay? Invite someone to something. All right. We're going to have a look at the verse for the day. Our verse for the day is from Colossians 4, verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So we all know who the wise person was Solomon. He could have asked for anything and he asked for wisdom. But what wisdom is, it's the ability to use your experience and your knowledge to make sensible decisions and right judgment. As God's prepared you. He's given you things in your life for that. Okay? He has prepared all of us in a different way. To use your experience and your knowledge. in Christian terms, it kind of means the ability to apply God's plan to navigate your life. But the first thing you've got to do is know what God's plan is, or God's will. And how do we know what God's will is? Well, you can read the Bible, you can pray, you can ask the Holy Spirit, and when you can't find any other answers, you can ask for good counsel. I usually, if I have a really tough question, go to Helen. Thanks, Helen. but it's not wisdom, as in being smart. It's God that makes us wise. God gives us His wisdom, and that's what it is means to be wise. Second word, when I was looking at this passage, God put a couple of words on my heart, so I'm just going to share them with you. The second word was act. Act is not something you get up on stage like in a play and do. It's not fake it till you make it, although sometimes that helps. It's choosing to live with purpose. It's living out the prayers that you've made. It's asking and receiving and responding to God. It's practicing good correction. This is one of my favourite psalms, at Psalm 39, at the end of it. I don't know the numbers. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So what I'm asking Jesus to do is to help me act in the way that He wants me to act. And the best way that you act is to be you. I know I said it earlier. The Jesus in you is really attractive to other people. So be you. People are drawn to that. Okay, let's just leave it. The next word is outsiders. Who are the outsiders? Yeah, outside this room, yeah, they're outsiders. Bad luck for them, eh? No. Non-Christians. I prefer to call them pre-Christians. Okay, yeah, they're coming. They're also made in the image of God. And they see you and they judge you. And they judge the Jesus in you. And they judge Jesus by the Jesus in you. And they judge Christianity by you. And they judge the church by you. And they judge God by you. By what you say and what you do and how you say it and how you do it. There's that passage in Luke and it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's your Jesus in your heart that they are seeing, that they will see Jesus and the church and God and you. But your relationship with Jesus, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus flows out of your heart and it flows into those people around you. So what we want you to do, that last bit there, is to make the most of every opportunity. I got this great freedom once before where we talked about Matthew 28 before, the Great Commission, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And if you read it in the Passion Translation, it says, wherever you go, so as you go. So you don't actually have to physically go anywhere. It's just whatever you're doing. So whether you're walking the dog or gardening in the front garden, anywhere you volunteer at school, at work, at playgroup, your sport, your hobby. Helen and Brian like to do it when they're shopping. At the pub, I had once a little girl. We lived in a country town, so pubs are very different. They're not drinking establishments. And we were there for dinner one night. A little girl came and sat at our table and started eating the chips off my plate. And her mother was like, oh, my goodness, what is that? What is my daughter doing? I was, it's all right, I'm her scripture teacher. I'm the one who teaches her about Jesus. So it was a great, great inroad into, I always see the kids, but I never met the parents. And, of course, on your social media as well, great opportunities there. What we're doing with these magnets that you've been given, and if you haven't got one, we'll grab you one afterwards out the front here. We're learning the words off by heart, and we're going to test you at the end of the term. No, we're not going to test you. What we really want to do with is to plant those words in your heart so that when you do go out and be yourself to people who aren't pre-Christians, that you have these words of Jesus planted in your heart, ready to share with other people. last week we had the women's breakfast, and we always pray for the workers to be thankful for gratitude, but also for them to see the Jesus in us as well. And we gave out a little bag of chockies to the ladies that served us, and one lady came out of the kitchen and she was holding this little bag of chockies to her chest, and she was like, "Oh, thank you." And I'm kind of thinking, it's just four chocolates in a plastic bag. But what she would have gotten from that was she got a little bit of Jesus from that. And that's what we'd been praying for. So it's just wherever you're going, it's a really easy thing to do. I was on a cruise ship one day, and a guy, you know, you share your table, and a guy, I specifically wore it today, leant across the table and said, "Can I ask you a personal question?" And I was like, "Okay." He said, "Is that just a piece of jewellery to you?" And I go, "No, that's a way of life to me." And so it started a great conversation again. We also had a mattress for sale a couple of years back, and a lady who drove down from Ballina after all the floods up there a couple of years ago, she had her house and everything in it wiped out. And she'd driven all the way down here to buy a car that she could live in and a mattress that she could put in the back. So we had this mattress for sale that would fit in her car for $50. So she came to pick up the mattress and she told us her story. So not only did we give her the mattress without charging her, we also gave her an extra $50 to for her petrol or her fuel back home. And we gave her some pillows and blankets for all the people in her community that we had spares in the B&B. And then we gave her a free night's accommodation so she could sleep in a proper bed, which was nothing because it was already made up ready for guests and we didn't have guests that night. And she was shocked. She said, "Why would you do that? Why are you so kind?" And I said, "Well, we've been given kindness. It's just not for us to keep. Jesus gives us kindness to share." And I know she wasn't a Christian because we had shared later on some things, but you never know what seed you have planted when you just speak your truth, speak Jesus' truth out there. Your job is not to go out there and shake people and nag people. And I think Joe mentioned that a few weeks ago. You know, Jesus never did that. Jesus just went out and he invited people. He just said, "Follow me." I think it was 24 times or something in the Gospels, he just says, "Follow me." That's it. He doesn't beg them, doesn't nag them. He just, one word. And whether they come or not, is not up to, it's their decision. We've all been given free will. We're going to look at how do we do it? Okay, so we know what it is. But how do we invite people? So there's many, lots and lots of examples in the Bible where Jesus invites people. I encourage you, really invite you, to go and have a look at some of those. And they're just such simple examples. Biggest one I ask you to do today is just to pause in your busy, busy lives and ask God. Ask him what he wants. And then to pray and to listen what he says. And to have those words planted in your hearts. 1 Peter 3 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." So a few, last year and the year before, I don't know, most of you know, my son had total kidney failure and he was having dialysis for a bit over a year, and lucky enough to get a transplant now, but he would have to go to dialysis three times a week, and it's like a 6 to 8 hour ordeal and a 2 hour drive each way. And these guys have got pretty rough lives. It's like a war zone down there, things I'd never seen before. And so these guys were swearing, and my son says, "Hey, don't swear. My mum's a Christian." And I burst out laughing. I said, "Do you think Christians don't swear? I mean, no, we shouldn't. I'm not condoning swearing. But there are times you've dropped a hammer on your foot and you've said a word you probably shouldn't." And the nurse came in, obviously still a Christian, and she said, "And we even drink sometimes." And so this bloke down there, his name's Scott, I'm still praying for him. He pulls me aside and he says, and this stage Lachlan's rolling his eyes, he goes, "Mum." Scott says to me, "So what makes you different to me then?" And I said to him, "I have a hope that you don't have." And it's, you know, and he said, "I want that." And I said, "You want that? You got it." So that day I went to Coorong, left Lachlan in hospital, went to Coorong and bought him the Gospel of Luke, which happens to be my favourite gospel. And I wrote a little note in the front of it and said, while you're really bored sitting attached to a machine for 6 hours a day because you can't move even to go to the toilet, here's a little book to read. And when you finish reading this book, there's 65 others. Now, occasionally I hear from Scott, but he lives a long way away, and I don't feel like rocking up at a strange bloke's house either, but he is now, you know, reading, I hope, more of those books, and I pray for him regularly. I don't know what will become of him. I don't know if he has accepted Jesus. I don't know if he goes to church. I don't know if he still swears. I don't know any of that, and I don't need to know. Sometimes when we ask people, they say no, and that's okay, because it's not always immediate. You just got to wait for God to fertilize it and to water it, and then it will bloom if the seed is accepted. Your job is only to drop seeds and remove weeds. That's your only job. Cool. I referred to a lot of other verses today, and if you'd like to know or to read some more of those verses, and if you've never read some of those verses that I've referred to today, I have a list that I'm welcome to share with you. But what I really want you to do today is I'm going to invite, we're just going to welcome the Holy Spirit into our thoughts and just take a few quiet moments and ask him, who would you like me to invite and where or how? So Holy Spirit, please put someone on our hearts or our thoughts who we could invite, someone on our path where we go this week to welcome, and give us that name. Spirit has given you a person or a place or a way to welcome or invite someone, I'd like you to share it with the person next to you if you feel brave enough to, or if later today during morning tea you'd like to share it with me or with one of the other leaders, then I would really also welcome you to do that. Thank you.